Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our meditation this morning draws from all three of our readings. You may be seated. Dear saints, increasingly in our world, we see a difference between what the world does in December and what the church does in December. For the world, it seems like it's already Christmas, sort of. Kind of has been since September. Not really the church's version of Christmas, though, is it? In the world's version, Santa is the primary figure. You're supposed to be spending a lot of money, drinking a lot, eating a lot, going to a lot of parties, listening to certain songs, watching certain Christmas movies, and arguing about whether which movie is a Christmas movie or not. And then it is sort of a time of preparation, preparing for December 25th, but not a whole lot really happens that day. You open your presents, you stay home, you maybe try to recover from the hectic season that it's been. Maybe if you're feeling ambitious, you even start to take down the Christmas decorations that evening because now you have to get ready for New Year's. Some of us witnessed this kind of in spades when we were out at the park in Newark a couple weekends ago. There was Santa in a helicopter, bounce houses, free cookies and hot chocolate and pictures with the Grinch. It's all fine, I suppose. Fairly harmless, unless that's all you know about Christmas. We in the church during December, we're not really celebrating Christmas, at least not yet. We're in Advent. Advent is a time of preparation, a preparation for Christmas, the real one. We're getting ready to remember the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. That is certainly the case. But as we prepare for Christmas, we're not merely preparing to remember an historic event, to commemorate what happened 2,000 years ago. It's not as if we're reenacting like a Civil War battle or even continuing the tradition of the pilgrims and celebrating Thanksgiving. No, Christmas is something different. It is much more than a remembrance. Christmas is a beginning, a turning point. On Christmas, we celebrate the beginning of God's saving work among his people. On Christmas, we celebrate the beginning of all that the prophets foretold in the Old Testament coming to pass, God himself coming to his people to redeem them. That's what Christmas is. It is the beginning of what Isaiah prophesied in our Old Testament reading. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with young. One step in that process of our redemption is highlighted in our gospel reading this morning. John the Baptist is out in the wilderness calling sinners to repentance and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Immediately after these verses, Mark records John actually baptizing Jesus in the Jordan. Do you suppose that out in the world, as they're celebrating their secular Christmas, that there's any thought given to baptism of all things? I doubt it. Yet in our lectionary, we find it here, the second Sunday of Advent every year, as we prepare for Christmas. But why? Obviously, Jesus' baptism is important. It's important in his work of redeeming us. It's important in our lives. In baptism, in Jesus' baptism, we see him taking on our sin. And in our baptism, we take on his righteousness. But we hear something else in John's words. They are words of preparation. John is preparing the way of the Lord. He is calling those who hear him to make his path straight, to prepare for the coming of Jesus, who is about to begin his ministry among them. To prepare for that, repentance was needed. Straightening out the crooked things in one's life, denying worldly things in order to focus on the things of God, the things that Jesus was coming to do and to proclaim among them. Baptism was preparing the people for Jesus. And so it is for us. The old theologians speak about three arrivals of the Son of God. Not just two, but three. The first is his coming in the flesh some 2,000 years ago. God became man and was born that first Christmas. Obviously, you and I can't experience that the way it was. We can only remember that first arrival. For the other two arrivals of Christ, we poor sinners need baptism. The second of these three arrivals you're experiencing even here right now, every week in the divine service, God's arrival by grace. Jesus comes to his people. Those gathered to be in his presence, he arrives with us to give us the things he desires to give us, his generous gifts. He comes in his word, in the absolution, in the supper. And it is baptism that unites you to that. Baptism unites you with Christ's death and his resurrection. It makes you God's child, which is why you are here. No one can approach God in their sinful state because God is holy. But God has washed you clean in baptism, so that you may be his, that you may come into his divine presence, that you may partake of his sacrament, receive him in body and blood, commune with him, commune with one another. Baptism and faith make you a Christian. That's why you're here. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, Jesus says. This arrival of Jesus is according to God's grace. You enjoy it and experience it your entire life as a Christian. But baptism also prepares you for Christ's third arrival, his arrival in glory on the last day. Isaiah prophesied, "Behold, the Lord comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him." This began at Christ's first arrival, is continuing now through his second arrival, and will be complete at the last day. When Jesus was baptized, he saw the heavens opened. When Jesus returns, all flesh will see the heavens opened as Christ descends, even as the apostles saw him ascend into heaven. At his baptism, Christ heard the voice of his Father booming out of the heavens. When the Lord returns in glory, the trumpet will sound, and all flesh will hear it. Jesus will come. He will come, as St. Peter puts it, in this way. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. When Christ returns, the kingdom of God's grace that we experience now will be transformed into the kingdom of Christ's glory. And it is important on that day, when you and I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, that we're wearing the right clothes. You better not be underdressed. You better not be unprepared. For the believer will be wearing the white robes of Christ's righteousness. Those robes that have been made white in the blood of the Lamb, and that righteousness of Christ is yours in baptism. For those of us clothed in this way, Judgment Day is simply a redeclaration of what has already been told to you in your baptism and since. Your sins are forgiven. Come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. That is the arrival we await for with eager anticipation. What do we do as we wait? In our epistle reading, Peter tells us, he says, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming, that day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth where righteousness dwells." So as we prepare to remember and commemorate Christ's first arrival, as we weekly gather together and enjoy his second arrival, and as we await his third arrival, we are not to get lost in the revelry, the frivolity of the world. We do not prepare for these arrivals as the world prepares for secular Christmas, with excess and anxiety, debauchery. No, we prepare in humility, in repentance and faith, in living holy and godly lives, in order that we would receive him who comes to us for our salvation, for our redemption, even Jesus Christ our Lord. We daily live out our lives as his baptized children, receiving his Spirit through his word, our paths being made straight in repentance and faith, and the assurance that our sins are forgiven. May it be so for you this Advent season. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.